Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Ann Ortley reporting in from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan about the full moon that's going to take place on April 9th, 2009 at 10:56 in the morning Eastern Time and at 7:56 in the morning Pacific Time. The full moon will take place at 19 degrees 53 minutes of Libra, opposite a lovely 19 degree 53 minute Aries Sun. The full moon for April finds the planets starting to break apart and separate from the intensity of the past 2 months. Venus is still retrograde, so she's bringing a backwards-looking and fire-clear vision to this month's full moon energy. Venus in Aries rules the moon as well as Mercury, and the two of them are talking by semi-sextile, and they will be pointing out things that are of worth or of value to you. As Venus is on the world axis during the lunation, she can point out things in a very public manner. Pay particular attention to things that come to light under this full moon, even if they are or seem insignificant, not probable or undoable. They will be important down the road a bit. We'll be working in and with this energy very soon. So look back. Look at the various patterns in your life and see what you see. Cancer rising on the East Coast chart means the Libra moon rules the ascendant and the chart cast for the United States. That means as a nation, we will be looking back, attempting to discern from earlier times what is of value to us, its worth, as well as how to proceed with our new knowledge or understanding. The energy of the moon applies to us as individuals, too. Perhaps if we study and learn from past situations and early events that took place in our life, we won't have to repeat them in quite the same way again. Or at least we will not have the same outcome. So watch what comes to light in your life as you will be immersed in this energy of the full moon very soon. Astrology is all about cycles repeating themselves and helping humans evolve to the next level. History is all about cycles repeating themselves and helping humans evolve to the next level. Cosmos and Psyche, a fabulous book, was written by Richard Tarnas, and it steps us through some of the bigger cycles we've gone through as humans to develop consciousness, so I suggest everybody listening read it. It's a great book. We find ourselves at a critical juncture in history right now, standing at the very edge of the beginning of a major cycle, Pluto and Capricorn, looking over the precipice, because Capricorn rules mountains. We stand waiting as other societal and collective planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Jupiter, are each in signs asking us as a collective mass of humanity to evolve. Are you ready to evolve? The full moon is going to encourage you to evolve as she lights up the sky and the darkness with her gentle light. There's a wide finger of God with Saturn in Virgo as at the apex and the Sun in Aries sextile to Jupiter in Aquarius as the handles. Think of a finger of God as like a dowsing rod. The finger of God often are major turning points or profound crossroads in our life. Uranus in Pisces is sitting in the outlet of the finger of God. Last week, Mars in Pisces opposed Saturn, and next week, Mars in Pisces joins with Uranus. Mars activates the finger of God. He did last week, and he'll activate it again next week. The full moon takes place between the two Mars triggers of Saturn-Uranus opposition. Full moons shed light or illuminate the matters at hand in an emotional manner. The full moon aspects Mars within 2 minutes of arc, asking Mars to wake up and notice what the ego or the solar and emotional or the lunar needs are. When Mars comes to any planet, we experience the need or desire to take action around matters ruled by that planet. Mars can make you angry, impassioned, activated, excited, or driven to change things. We have to do something. We feel the drive and the passions rise inside us as Mars in the sky stimulates our own natal Mars to act. So watch where you're feeling the need to take action, to change things, or where you felt blocked last week as Mars joined with Saturn. Mars is stimulating the long, slow evolution of Saturn and Uranus's dance in the heavens. Saturn and Uranus are asking us to break down and change the old structures so new ones can be created. Before we have any renovation, the old has to be moved out, torn down, or broken up. That's the process that's going on in our own lives, as well as in our financial and economic systems. The asteroid Nemesis is active under this lunation, asking us to look at our own actions that cause us problems. Nemesis is defined as an unbeatable opponent or a bitter enemy, especially one who seems unbeatable. Or two, a source of harm or ruin. Or three, deserved punishment, especially when it results in someone's downfall. Or four, a person or force that inflicts punishment or revenge, an avenger. It is Greek for nemesis, righteous indignation, from nemen, to distribute what is due. The poet Mesomenes wrote a hymn to Nemesis in the early 2nd century Common Era, where he addressed her, Nemesis, wing balancer of life, dark-faced goddess, daughter of justice, and mentions her adamantine bridles that restrain the frivolous insolences of mortals. Be aware, you may well find or meet your nemesis under this lunation. The point of that encounter, if it happens, is to point out the pattern to you so you can see it and change it in the future. We all cause ourselves problems. We each have a 12th house of undoing, and we each manage to get in our own way at times. Under this lunation, you will very probably see how you butt heads with your nemesis. Do you still have to do that butt heads business? Or is your nemesis merely a pattern that you've gotten used to? Are you able to change your relationship to your nemesis? Are you willing to change your relationship to your nemesis? If you could snuggle up with it, what would you whisper in its ear? And perhaps, more importantly, what would your nemesis whisper in your ear? Are you giving nemesis your power by the patterns or behaviors you're used to doing over and over and over again? What are the bridles that restrain your frivolous insolence? What are the bridles that you can let fall away now that you can see your patterns clearly? We're still in the process of figuring out where we are going. We know we can't go back to the old life. It has fundamentally changed, or perhaps we have changed. That said, our new life isn't quite ready for us yet. We're in the middle place, waiting, waiting, waiting. Patiently or impatiently, we still have to wait until Venus goes direct and Saturn goes direct to know what exactly is the plan. We are in process. Process, process, process. So what do you want to do while you wait and process? Look at your patterns. Spend time on the things you love. Spend time with people you love. Do things that nurture your Venus and Saturn. Notice what you notice under this full moon. Look at the patterns. Look at the upcoming fork in the road. You are going to be asked to pick a new direction pretty darn quick. So make your plans. Get stuff in place that you know you want to do. Get rid of stuff you don't need or don't want or don't use anymore. Clear the decks for the new beginnings that are coming. Love the process. Love the unknowing. Once the planets all settle down mid-May, you'll be super busy and immersed in the next chapter of your life. So take advantage of this quiet before the dawn of the next chapter to enjoy a cup of tea or your life's small and special treasures. Now, one of the things that I include in the full moon column is an interpretation of the Sabian image. The Sabian images were developed by Mark Edmund Jones and a woman whose name I'm blank on all the time, and I should write it down so I remember. And Linda Hill, who's an excellent astrologer in Australia, wrote an interpretation of the Sabian images in her fabulous book, 360 Degrees. So she interprets the image that Mark Edmund Jones and the woman developed under the Balboa tree in San Diego. See, I remember where it happened. I just don't remember the name of the lady. So anyway, her interpretation of the Sabian image for the Aries sun is a young girl feeding birds in the winter. It's an image of care, innocence, nurturing, and benevolence. She brings nourishment to those who need it. This can be physically, emotionally, or spiritually. It is winter, which shows that times may be lean and food or resources scarce. The young girl shows us that even when the cold winds are around us, we can find joy through sharing or doing things for others. Long talks with strangers and friends, or indeed strangers indeed, can bring a sense of nurturing, reassurance, satisfaction, and love. It can be very rewarding to provide love, reassurance, and nourishment to those who need it. Non-judgmental help can lead others to trust and respond, while little acts of kindness can improve people's lives. Things done for others often have an unexpected spin-off. You can enjoy the sharing and giving, have fun and feel really good about what you've done. Nourishment can come in the form of food, water, words, advice. There are, however, those who stubbornly resist moving on or changing their habits, even if it is to their own detriment. Someone is in need of help, someone who may even be the cause of his or her own problems. Look at Nemesis, what I say about him. He's in the moon. Continued shows of love and dedication may be required, even when it may be tiring or time-consuming. What would really happen if you left or withdrew your time, resources, or energy? Are you stepping out into the cold to help others? Be careful that what's being fed is in fact nourishing for those receiving it and not just feeding codependence. There may be a time, a need to be alone, to do simple yet compassionate things. Try feeding birds outside or through open windows and see what the feelings are triggered. Keywords for this lunation: nurturing innocence, feeding energy to situations that feel cold, hopeless, and lost, small efforts bringing their rewards, codependent relationships, nurturing, helping those less fortunate or smaller, taking time out for others, doing things without the thought of reward, enjoying nature, trying to find friends or company, bread and water. The caution: wanting to win approval, creating dependence with others that has to be maintained, feeling bleak, lost, and alone, the need to continually rescue others, doing anything in order to be liked, finding it difficult to stop giving, not being able to say no. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Aesop. If you give, you'll always have. Chinese proverb. A kind and compassionate act is often its own reward. William John Bennett. The greatest wealth consists in being charitable, and the greatest happiness in having tranquility of mind. And the best comrade is one that has no desire. Tibetan doctrine. If you have not felt the joy of doing a kind act, you have neglected much, and most of all yourself. A. Nealon. Simply give others a bit of yourself, a thoughtful act, a helpful idea, a word of appreciation, a lift over a rough spot. You take something out of your mind and garnished in kindness out of your heart and put it into other fellows' mind and heart. Charles Burr. Now, the moon, because we have a full moon, we have a second Sabian image, because the moon is at 17 Libra, opposite the sun. So Linda Hill's interpretation of the Sabian image for the moon is a Jewish rabbi in a tiny room full of manuscripts and books performing his duty. It shows a man of religion in a constant state of learning, interpreting and reinterpreting text. His job is to translate spiritual teachings and administer them on behalf of the community that he represents. The fact that the Old Testament, the Talmud, and other religious writings have changing relevance in different cultures signifies that you need to be aware of your established wisdom, but remain open-minded to the way you apply that wisdom to your modern day-to-day life. In order to have freedom of thought, the rabbi needs to have a thorough knowledge of the history of the foundations of the society he represents. The Oracle. There is an old, age-old wisdom and established tradition which has survived to this day. These teachings can give rise to rituals and initiations that are essential to our well-being and important landmarks in our lives, such as births, weddings, funerals, etc. However, how relevant are some of the laws that pertain to these in today's world? Although they should be delivered and accepted with reverence, taking things literally from ancient texts is probably not always going to provide you with what is needed for modern solutions. Instead, take heed of the ethics and the morals behind them, and translate them to become relevant to your life and times. You may need to access this knowledge through instruction or through an inner search in order to deal with your situation. Sometimes, we feel a huge resistance to having to do things that we must perform, but if these things are tried and true things, then they can lead us onwards and upwards by complying with society's needs and mores. Remind yourself of why there is a need to perform these duties. This may help keep you motivated when you're feeling doubtful. The key words are connection with ancient sources of truth and understanding, faith in abiding laws, inherited wisdom, ancient books, fundamentalism, rituals, social and otherwise, initiation ceremonies, bookwork, studying and worshiping, doing deeds on behalf of the community, religious services, writings that reveal rules for living, lawyers, advocates, hidden knowledge. The caution: watch out for religious dogmatism. Watch out for following the rules of the book. Watch out for sticking to what convention says must be done. Watch out for losing one's sense of individuality. Watch out for an overinflated sense of self. Watch out for distrust or hate of people from different religions, backgrounds, or ethnic origins. Watch out for restrictive rules. In the quotes, I feel there's a wealth in Jewish tradition, a great inheritance. I'd be a jerk not to take advantage of it. Herman Welk. Rituals are important. Nowadays, it's hip not to be married. I'm not interested in being hip. John Lennon. I call that mind free, which jealously guards its intellectual rights and powers, which calls no man master, which does not contend itself with a passive or hereditary faith, and receives a new truth as an angel from heaven. Woody Allen. Look for the good, not the evil, in the conduct of members of the family. Jewish proverb. Linda Hill's interpretation of the Sabian symbols appears with her permission. Check out her work at sabiansymbols.com. And this is Ann Ortley signing off, wishing you a lovely, lovely full moon, and asking you to remember that whatever gets lit up on this full moon, the purpose is to release it and have you see it and understand it. And if you think back until the fall of 2007, October of 2007, that's when this full moon was seeded. And so there's a story that's coming to light, culminating and completing under this moon. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye.